We're going to pray and get in the Word. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have tonight, Lord, to hear you, to grow in you, and Father, to be changed. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would hear what the Spirit is saying to us, Lord, that we will not leave this place the same, but Father, that more than ever before, we will live for you and glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with James chapter 4, James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4, beginning from verse 13. There are some truths here that I think kind of rock the boat a little bit of the generation that we live in. But he says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He tells us that our lives here on earth are just a passing vapor in the view of eternity. Now, when you're a little kid, a day seems like a long time, and a year seems like an eternity. But the longer you live, the faster it goes, right? And the more you realize how fleeting, how quickly life can pass. But the Word of God tells us that it's just like a passing vapor. It's just in the span of eternity. It's just here for a brief moment, and then it's gone. Our lives here on this earth, when he says your life is a passing vapor, he's talking about your life here on earth. And your life here on earth is the summation of the time that you have here on earth. Your life on earth is, he's talking about the summation of the time that you have here on earth. However many years, however many months, days, hours, minutes you have, that makes up your life here in this world. It is precious, and we need to use it wisely. This passage is not teaching us that we should never make plans. I know that some might take that away from this passage immediately, just at a quick glance. But as always, you interpret all Scripture in the light of other Scripture. He's certainly not telling us that we should never, ever make any plans because we don't know what's going to happen. He's talking about boasting arrogantly here. He's talking about, in fact, I'm just going to say it this way, so much of what goes on in the world in the name of setting goals, that people boast about what they're going to do arrogantly, not knowing the will of God, not knowing if they'll even be here tomorrow. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:34 not to worry about tomorrow. In the King James, it actually says it this way. It says, take no thought for the morrow. Now, if you take that to an extreme, we're not even going to ever give a thought to tomorrow, then, well, you don't need a savings account. You don't need a retirement plan. You don't need Social Security. You don't need insurance. You don't even need an alarm clock. And some of you right now, that's appealing to you, right? You're thinking, hey, by the way, Jesus didn't have an alarm clock. Y'all know how that story goes, right? Jesus also walked everywhere he went. So, yeah, anyway. But the attitude of play now and pay later has destroyed a lot of people, not just financially, but otherwise. So certainly our Lord was not telling us that we're just to live for the moment. He was telling us not to worry about tomorrow. And certainly we shouldn't be worried about tomorrow. But you need to understand that we do need, if we're going to make wise use of our time, this passing vapor that you and I have, we do need to plan. We do need to be intentional about how we live our lives. It's foolish to just live in the moment, you know, play now and you're going to pay later. Yes, you will. You gotta plan. You just need to do so with a humble heart and the will of God, not boasting about what you're going to do. You don't even know how long you have. One high school graduate was asked, he said, well, you know, what's your plan? He said, well, I think I'm going to go to McDonald's and get a burger. And that's about the extent of a lot of people's plans. You know, they just, you know, what are we having for dinner, honey? And that's, you know, that's their plan. But we need to plan. You know, the Bible teaches us that even the ants are smart enough that during the good time, they store up so that they'll have something during the lean times. And it's not written in there for other ants. It's written in there for guess who? It's written in there for us so that we'll be as smart as an ant. So, you know, I just tell you, I've seen a lot of people who were foolish and, you know, that when it comes to financial things, they didn't store up in the good times. They just spent more. And then when the bad times came, they weren't prepared. But here's the point is that, yes, we do plan, but we just need to understand that our life is a passing vapor and that we need to use the time that we have wisely. This passage is not saying we should have no plans and just live for the day. It's telling us that we need to pursue the will of God every day, that it's not only foolish to do otherwise, but it's evil. He said, all such boasting, when you boast about I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, he says, all such boasting is evil. Now, we don't boast, but we humbly serve the Lord and do His will, follow His will each and every day of our life. That's how we use our time wisely. But we need to be ready for tomorrow. More importantly, we need to be ready for eternity. And I'm not just talking about getting born again. I'm talking about that we want to be ready in the way that we live our lives so that we're making a difference in eternity. Not just making heaven, but heaven's going to be different because of the way we lived our lives. Somebody else is going to be there because of the way we lived our lives. We need to take thought for eternity. Plan for tomorrow as the Lord leads you. But don't ever take tomorrow for granted. Most people assume that tomorrow will just be another day. Just another day. But there are countless stories of someone who is with us and is gone tomorrow. And we just need to listen. I know that's a little sobering. These are some heavy things I'm throwing out there, but sometimes we need that. It's too much wasted life, too much wasted opportunity, wasted time that's just lived and gone, a vapor, it's gone. And when this life is past, we want to be able to say, I used it wisely. I made it count, made a difference in eternity. Luke 12:16-21. Jesus tells a parable. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store up my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This tells us about the one who plans for tomorrow without God in the picture. He just makes his own plans without regard for what God wants to do in his life. He had his tomorrow all planned out. He just forgot to plan for eternity. His wealth, and more importantly, his life, was wasted. In the culture we live in, they admire the guy who has $50 billion. I want to tell you something. Unless he uses his life for God, both his money and his wealth will be wasted. In eternity, it'll be worthless. It'll be nothing, a zero. It's what's lived for God. It's what's used wisely that makes the difference. It's a passing vapor, so you got to use it wisely. How can you be rich toward God? It's really a matter of priority, that we're not just living our lives in the pursuit of things or the pleasures of this life, or even the pursuit of happiness. I know some people think that's in the Bible. It's in the Constitution. It's not in, or the Bill of Rights. It's not in the Bible. In fact, a lot of people have made it a false god. Their whole life is about whatever makes them happy. In fact, they even pervert who God is and say, well, God wants me to be happy, and this makes me happy, so it doesn't matter if the Bible says not to do it. It makes me happy. I'm just telling you, a lot of people spend their lives running after the wrong things, and they're not rich toward God. No, to be rich toward God, we have to use our life to do His will, to fulfill His purpose. That makes you rich toward God. If you really understand that our lives are a vapor, then shouldn't we live every day and every moment with eternity in mind? What really matters is what we do for God to further His kingdom, to fulfill His purpose in our life, and make the most of every day. Ephesians 5:15-16. I like the way the NIV just says it so plain and clear. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We're to be very careful how we live. There's something for us to consider. Are we very careful in how we live? I'm not talking about being afraid. I'm not talking about that, you know, we're worried about everything. But I'm talking about that we're careful to make wise choices with our life and how we live. That we make the most of every opportunity. I'll tell you, that just couldn't be any clearer. We live our lives not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Got to make sure you're rich toward God. Jesus told that story about this man who reaped a harvest. And I want you to understand, yes, we need to make a living. Yes, we need to work. But we also need to understand that we'd better be sowing to spiritual things. Life is more than just material things. So we can plan our day and we can plan our career and we can plan our retirement, but we better not leave God out of any of it. What we do with this passing vapor not only determines what we reap in this life, but it determines what our reward is going to be in eternity. A lot of Christians don't even know that. They don't even understand that. They think that when we get to heaven, hey, it's all the same for everybody. Read the Bible. The Bible never teaches that. Some are going to have a great reward. Some are going to be saved, yet so as by fire. That's what the Bible says. How's that determined? By what we do with this brief time that we have here in this life. You got to use it wisely. Need to be about the master's business. Don't let the days just pass by. You might live to be 20, 40, 60, 80, even 100. But I'm telling you that if you don't use it wisely, you'll look back and you'll say, where did it go? It was so fast. It was only a vapor. Now think about this. Jesus only lived 33 years. But he changed everything. In those 33 years, he fulfilled the plan, the purpose, the will of God. And you see, that's what's important. However much life you have, however much time you have, that you fulfill the plan and purpose of God. We don't have time to fool around. And I want to say some things here. I want this to be real clear. I think God wants you to enjoy life. I think he wants you to have a good time. I don't think he wants you to always be in a hurry and be stressed. And I think that God gives you enough time to do everything that he wants you to do. You have enough time to fulfill his plan and purpose. But don't waste it. There's no indication that Jesus was ever in a hurry or that Jesus was ever, you know, anxious about getting it all done like we are. But we need to be wise that we make it count. Even when he was 12 years old, his family had traveled to Jerusalem and they were leaving and they didn't notice that he wasn't with them, and so they went back to find him. And when they find him, they're upset with him. They said, we've been anxiously looking for you. In Luke 2, 49 and 50, he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Even at 12 years old, Jesus was already about his Father's business. Now notice that his parents didn't understand. And you know, I was thinking about this. Mary and Joseph were not like unspiritual people. I mean, these were people that the angel of God had appeared to before. You know, these were people that heard from God. These were pretty special people, don't you think? And yet they didn't understand. I want you to know, if you're about the Master's business, there's going to be times when friends and family and coworkers don't understand. Why are you always down there at that church? I remember when I was 20 years old, worked at a bank, and I had become weird after I got saved. I carried a Bible around with me, you know, just kind of weird stuff. And it was an older gentleman. He was older then. Now I would call him a young man. But anyway, there was an older gentleman. He says, I want to know what makes you tick. How come you're not out here with these other young people, you know, having parties and doing those kind of things like other young people are doing? I want to know what makes you tick. I got to share my faith with him. Jesus makes me tick. So you know what? We ought to have an internal, eternal clock that's always ticking, that we're wise with this time. We're not just wasting it, but we realize that it's important and valuable. We got to use it the best we can. In John 4:34, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." We need to live our lives to make a difference, to make it count, doing the will of God. See, Jesus is my meat. What satisfies me is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And Jesus did that. He did everything that the Father had given him to do. And I'll tell you, we also need to live a life each and every day where we're endeavoring to fulfill the will of God, the purpose of God in our life. And just like Jesus, so much of the will of God, the purpose of God in your life is going to involve other people. It's going to involve reaching out to people. It's going to involve seeking the lost. One way or another, I'm telling you, that's what God cares about. And his will and his plan and purpose in our life, it's never just going to be about me or me and my four no more. It's always going to be about other people and about reaching other people. Because you know what? In eternity, it won't matter who had the biggest barn. It won't matter who had the most money. It won't matter what kind of car you drove. Who cares? In heaven, the streets are gold. Nobody's going to care what car you drove. Whoop-dee-doo, you're trying to impress people. How big your truck was. Nobody's going to care. None of that stuff is going to care. Well, I was famous. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of famous people who won't even be in heaven. I'll tell you what's going to matter in heaven. It's the people's lives that we touched. The people that we encouraged along the way. The people that we influenced for Jesus, the people that we shared the Lord with or that we prayed with. I'm telling you, it's going to all be about people. And so if we're going to use our time here wisely, I'm telling you, it's going to involve people. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Listen, he's telling us that we're supposed to walk in love just like Jesus did. In the NIV, it says, live a life of love. Opportunities are limited, so you use them wisely. This morning, my sweet wife, just give me a second, I'm going to try to hold it together here, all right? My sweet wife gets ready to go for chemotherapy, and she says, with the big smile on her face and great excitement in her voice, she says to me, I'm going to be a blessing. And she goes over there to pray for people that are hurting, to encourage the ones that are down, and even to the workers, she makes it her goal to lift them up, to be thankful to them and encourage them. And I'm just telling you, you see, God is using that. We didn't want to go down this road. But it's amazing how that God can take something that's so difficult and hard and use it to be a blessing. Turn it around on the enemy. Well, he just has a way of doing that, doesn't he? And I, you know, it's real humbling to me, because I'm going to tell you, y'all can think what you want about me for saying it, but you can talk bad about me. That's between you and God, but I'm going to say it. I'm not that spiritual. I mean, I try. But I'm just telling you that we can make a difference in eternity, no matter what our situation, how bad, or, you know, we think we got this problem and that problem, and, you know, one of these days I'm going to do something for God. No, right here, right now, there's time, there's opportunities. You're living in the moment that you can make a difference, not just in your eternity, but in somebody else's eternity. Paul understood very well that his life on earth was for God's purpose, and that purpose always has to do with others. Philippians 1, 21 through 25, he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. He's saying, if I keep living, it's going to be fruitful. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy of faith. Now listen, he says, if it was just up to me to depart and be with Christ, it's far better. But he says, I know I'm going to remain for you. And oh, if we just understood that God has us here, not just so we can enjoy life and, you know, live out our days. And you know what? Most people, they don't even want the Lord to come back, because they're just enjoying their life, living out their days, doing it their way. Listen, we ought to be living our life, making a difference all the time in somebody else's life. As Paul said, it's going to be fruitful labor. That's why I'm here. It's for you. We need to know that God has us here for other people, not just for ourselves, but for other people. Have that view, that mentality, that we're here for someone else's spiritual good. You may not feel like you matter much. You may feel like people don't listen to you, but I'm telling you that when the love of God works through you, you can make a difference in somebody else's life. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. First, you got to be willing to give yourself to Him. We have to be willing to yield our lives to Him. Remember, we started off in that passage in James where he says, don't boast about what you're going to do. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But what we should say is if the Lord wills. You see, if it's the Lord's will, then we can do it. And we can say, I'm going to do it because this is God's will. But before we can really know His will, we first got to get to the place where we yield our lives to Him. We give ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. We truly make Him Lord. We don't just call Him Lord, but we make Him Lord. And when we do that, see, and then we renew our mind. We get our minds in line with the Word of God, in line with what He wants. He says, then you'll be able to prove, then you'll be able to know what is that good, perfect, that acceptable will of God. I want to go back to James 4. We're just going to begin with verse 14 this time, halfway through it. He says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. It's interesting that verse 17, most of the time when people preach or teach on this passage, they leave verse 17 off. And most of the time when they preach or teach on verse 17, they don't talk about the previous verses. But you'll notice it starts with a therefore. And so it's all tied together. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. What's he talking about? We got to be pursuing the will of God. We know what God wants us to do. We know God's plan and purpose in our life. It's a sin to not do it. It's a sin to waste our time. It's a sin for us to be busy about our business instead of the Master's business. No, we got to be wise, use our time wisely. You know, we all spend money. We also spend our lives. We spend time. Spend our lives one day, 1 hour, 1 minute at a time. You spent some time to come here tonight. I hope you don't regret that. I hope you're blessed. But it is our most valuable commodity. Most today, in our generation, I think are somewhat deceived about just how much time they waste with an electronic screen, whether it's a TV, a computer, a phone, or some kind of pad. I'm just telling you, most of us would be shocked if we really got a hold of how much, if you logged it, not guessed, but logged it, how much time you actually use with those electronic devices. Time that is misappropriated is misappropriated life. If you were to watch 2 hours of TV a day, by the way, I know there's some of you that watch none. Praise the Lord, that's great. But the average American watches more than four. If you watched 2 hours of TV a day and you spent 1 hour a day on the internet and 1 hour a day talking and texting on your phone. Now, this, I know some of you are going, oh, no way, no way. Some of you need to actually log what you do. And you totaled that up to 4 hours a day. Maybe you spend three watching TV and one anyway. However, 4 hours a day. Did you know that if you do that 4 hours a day, that in the course of a year, you spent 60 24-hour days, 2 months, 24 hours a day, night and day, doing those activities? That's scary. 180 8-hour days. Let's say that you're really a spiritual person and you only spend 1 hour a day on all of those combined. Well, then you only spend 15 24-hour days, 60 8-hour days a year. Oh, how much time we waste. And I want you to understand, I realize that those things can be used for good, and they can even be a blessing. It could be a way that you reach out to people even. I'm just trying to get you to consider, because so often we are not wise in how we use our life. We're not making the most of it. And I just want to challenge you tonight that in this time that you have, live each day to the fullest. I want to tell you, when you look back on your life and you've really lived each day to the fullest, you won't have any regrets. You look back on your life and it won't feel wasted. You'll realize how big of a difference you've made in other people's lives and made in eternity. How precious is that? One last parable, just want to share with you real quickly. Luke chapter 12, in verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." In other words, we're blessed when our master finds us busy doing what he gave us to do. He goes on and he says, "Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Jesus tells us this to show us the importance of not putting off, not wasting the time that we have, but making the most of every opportunity, that we are always busy doing what God has for us to do, living each day to the fullest. And I tell you, when this life is past, only what was done for Christ will last. So make the most of it. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you that you are so merciful. You love us so much. And Lord, that you have given us such opportunity, Lord, to be used by you. And Father, I just pray that every person in this room tonight will know that they are called of God, will know that they can be used of God to impact others. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would do a work in us, that each and every day the Holy Spirit will prompt our heart to live a life of love. Oh, Father, I pray that you use us in this dark day to shine for Jesus and bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lord bless you. I love you.